Part from Luther's Small Catechism, the Apostles' Creed, as the head of the family should teach them in a simple way to his household. The first article, creation. What does this mean? The second article, redemption, what does this mean? The third article, sanctification, what does this mean? Is creedal, confessional, catechetical Christianity useful? It appears to me that for most laymen, it's high school algebra or geometry. You know, why should we learn this? When will I ever use this in real life? In decades of asking Lutherans what is communion, only pastors have ever answered what every single Lutheran learned in catechism. It is the true body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ under the bread and wine instituted by Christ himself for us Christians to eat and drink. If creedal Christianity is so useful, why don't more catechized Christians use it? Do people need water? We saw how much they did last week. That's why cities are built in proximity to rivers. You need water for crops, animals, health, life. So why don't we divert rivers into cities? Well, that's called a flood. And rather than useful, it's destructive. The Bible contains the entire river of the knowledge of salvation that God wills for humans to know. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is God-breathed and it's useful. Useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Well, why not then just use the Bible only? Denominations try. A 19th century survey of 53 American denominations' statements of belief found that the distinctive feature of American religion was no creed but the Bible. That sounds very pious, doesn't it? But the moment I say the words of the Bible are my creed, the question is no longer what does God mean by the Bible, but what do I mean? The Bible's the river. The Bible's divine. A creed is not divine. It's only useful if it accurately states what God says in the Bible. A creed is to the Bible what a bucket is to a river. We agree that diverting a river into a town is a disaster, not a right way to use water. So having the whole Bible as your creed, that's not useful either. A confession where you state what the Bible means is useful. It's true, a creed that does not accurately confess what the Bible says, well, that's like a bucket with holes in it. But it is better than no bucket at all. A late 19th century Lutheran theologian said that those who reject a creed will speedily reject the scriptures themselves. A faithful confession, a biblical creed, a catechism that accurately reflects what the Bible means is biblical doctrine for easy recall and use. If you memorize your small catechism, you know this. But how many of us actually use it? Our lack of use doesn't mean it's inherently unuseful. Haven't you ever worked in the garden and decided to dig, weed, or even prune with your hands, only to get frustrated and pick up a spade, a hoe, or shears? Well, get frustrated with trying to get a drink, water, or wash with the rushing flood of the river of Scripture. Use the bucket instead. When someone asks or doubts begin to creep into your mind, but where did all this come from? You have an answer in the first article. I believe that God has made me and all creatures, and he still takes care of them. Not only does he richly and daily provide me with all that I need, he defends me against all danger. You confess to believe in a creator, not an evolver, in a father, not fate or chance. And he does all this not because you don't sin, not because you believe hard, not because you even believe at all. No, all this he does only out of fatherly divine goodness and mercy without any merit or worthiness in me. Well, does that creed accurately confess what Scripture teaches? If so, it is a thus says the Lord and truth that will stand against sin, against death, against the devil too. When issues of creation or God's providing and protection come up, go to the bucket of the first article. Those issues are usually raised from the outside. Second article questions, doubts, fears about redemption, they usually boil up from your sinful nature, your conscience, your sins. The bucket of the explanation of the second article of the creed, that's useful against these. It confesses a God who is man and a man who is God. The one who is true God, begotten of the Father from eternity, and also true man, born of the Virgin Mary. This one is your Lord, who has redeemed you, has purchased you, won you from all sins, from death, and from the devil himself. How did he do this? By his blood that he kept holy, by never sinning, and by shedding that blood to cover your guilt. And that changes absolutely everything. The rest of your days, you get to not only live in his kingdom and serve in it, but serve in it in a state of being constantly righteous, constantly innocent, and constantly blessed by him. For Jesus' sake, in his kingdom, you get to live like Jasmine, the confined princess, whom Aladdin shows a whole new world. The second article accurately shows that Jesus redeemed you. But how does all that become yours? The 1966 monkeys knew. They sang, "I'm a believer." Well, that's true. All God does, promise, gives is received by faith. But hear that song, "I'm a believer," in the background. Have the explanation of the third article in the foreground. With Paul in Ephesians 2, you confess that you believe you can't believe. Faith is a gift of God, the Holy Spirit, of God the Holy Spirit. Not a work, not a decision, not a choice made by you. Believing in God the Creator and God the Redeemer is something God the Sanctifier calls you to, gathers you to, enlightens you to, sanctifies and keeps you in. Stop rooting around in your heart, your head, or your conscience, looking to see if you can find something called faith there and measuring if you have enough of it. Remember that 1990s ad campaign, Got Milk? Well, the question is not got faith, but got Jesus. That's what Luther said. In place of seeing a thing called faith in his heart, he saw Jesus there. Jesus was his righteousness. So the question is, got Jesus? The third article says you do. I believe that I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him, but the Holy Spirit has by the gospel called me to believe in Jesus and will keep me in this Jesus till I die. But can creedal Christianity be useful, say, on something like the night Jesus was betrayed? Let's say you're at that table. Jesus states, one of you will betray me. One after the other says, surely not I, Lord. The Greek shows they all ask a question, but they all believe it can't be them. The ESV translation hides that by translating, is it I? No, each is certain it can't be me. The bucket of the explanation of the third article of the creed says, I believe, I can't believe, which leads us to confess, of course it's me. Augustine said, the rule was, in all doubtful and difficult problems of thought and action, to be suspicious of nothing or nobody so much as oneself. Luther confessed in the same vein, for the greatest temptation is that you find yourself so hardened, hard-hearted, and insensitive that no trouble moves you. Surely, it can't be me. And it's not that one of us will betray Jesus, but all of us have, multiple times. And Scripture says the sooner we confess this, the better. David said after committing adultery and murder, when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. Solomon teaches, he who conceals his sin does not prosper, but whoever confesses and renounces them finds mercy. And John says, if we claim we are without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. However, what really haunts you tonight in that upper room is this. As soon as Judas took the bread, Satan entered into him. And those of you of poetic bent like the touch that John 13:30 adds, as soon as Judas had taken the bread, he went out and it was night. Talk about the dark night of the soul. Talk about who shall stand. Following the gospel, Satan stalking and taking Judas. A year before tonight, Jesus had said, have I not chosen you the 12, yet one of you is a devil? Then earlier the afternoon of our text, Luke tells us, and Satan entered Judas, and Judas went to the Old Testament church leaders and discussed with them how he might betray Jesus. And then tonight, right now, Jesus says, my betrayer is one who shares this dish with me. And specifically, he says, it's the one who takes this morsel from me. And Judas took it. And the text says, Satan entered into him. And Judas didn't wake up to what he had done till it was too late. How do you know this can't be you? Carrie Underwood can wake up to, oh no, what have I done? And the Rolling Stones, they can have sympathy for the devil. So surely, it could be me. We don't enter Lent tonight to feel bad for how much Jesus suffered for us. We enter Lent to see what his suffering did for us in our salvation. The second article fairly trumpets that with the blood we're going to see Jesus shed, and with the innocent suffering and death he will endure, he has redeemed us, lost and condemned people, purchased and won us, not just from all sins, not just from death, but from the power of the devil. Confessional Lutherans, creedal Lutherans like us, quote, I'm quoting from our Lutheran confession, simply believe that after the burial, the entire person, God and man, descended into hell, conquered the devil, destroyed hell's power, and took from the devil all his might. Neither hell nor the devil can take us or any believer in Christ captive or harm us. That confession of faith, that's pretty plain, isn't it? That's pretty clear, isn't it? And it's pretty comforting, consoling, hopeful, and helpful. But what if we were there tonight and stated we'd never betrayed Jesus and went on to argue about which one of us was considered to be the greatest? Could creedal Christianity help then? The creed is the great leveler. By confessing God as our creator, we say that God made me and all creatures without any merit or worthiness in me. By confessing God as redeemer, we're saying we need redeeming. We're lost and condemned people. By confessing God as sanctifier, we're saying that what he does for me, he does for all believers in Christ, i.e. he daily and richly forgives us all our sins, and on the last day will raise all the dead and give to all believers in Christ eternal life. Two closing points about creedal Christianity. First, from the Eastern Orthodox. The pastor's words which lead to confessing the creed are, let us have love for one another that we may confess in unanimity of faith. Cool. The second, from a Catholic priest of the 19th century. Tempering pious zeal corrected, I believe, to one does feel. Three times our catechism says, I believe. Use it. Amen.